This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm Brian Sexton, along with the head coach. That would be Jack Del Rio. Joe Fortunato's here. It's the Christmas edition of the Jack Del Rio Show, and you can join us this evening. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And we're wide open here for the next hour to talk to you as the Jaguars get set to play the Washington Redskins Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, click, 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 kick, right here at the stadium. Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Brian?
I'm good.
The only way I could be better
is if you had the division title hat on right now.
Yeah, that'd be the only other way.
All right. Well, but it's still there for you to get.
Other than that, life is great.
It's still there for you to get, though.
I'm 36 hours removed or whatever it is.
Yeah, so you're not going to let it
I needed every one of the 24, and then I took a few extra. But I'm good. We're
moving
back
forward.
On point. Got up, dusted off, getting ready to go to work. So
Redskins Sunday, Texans the following Sunday, and it's still right there for you, which is, I think, the part that that has a lot of people, you know, buoyed right now. Not let that get down in the dumps, because you beat the Redskins, you beat the Texans.
Well,
let's just
yeah, let's just take first things first.
Okay.
We just got to go out and play well and win the next game, and this is going to be a challenge. This is a good football team that has not won a lot of games.
Right.
But they are a good football team. They're well coached. They've got some talent. We'll talk about it as we get into the show. But, you know, you put on the tape Monday.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, okay, this is going to be tough.
I know you've been asked a lot about fourth and one and all kinds of stuff. Here's my question. The running game that you had going into that game was dominant, 193 yards a game. How did the Colts stop that? What did they do that kept you from getting that started? Because, quite frankly, Coach, I wasn't sure that anybody could stop your running game.
Well, you know, part of having a good running game is it's a lot of different things that add up, all right? And it's possessing the ball, which is what I was attempting to do with the fourth down.
Sure.
Go for. And I understand, you know, the criticism. I knew when I made the decision that
right.
If I don't get this,
you'll hear about it.
My neck on the line. So I knew that, but I trust our guys. We needed to possess the ball. We went the whole first half. We punted twice, and on the other drive got down on the one and then didn't score. It didn't score a touchdown. And so I really felt that we needed it, and we went for it and didn't get it. We just didn't block as well. We didn't run as well. We didn't perform as well in that phase offensively. And in particular, in the first part of that game. And then in the second half, we said, okay, look, we've tried to stay with our strength. Let's open it up and start throwing it.
Right.
And
it worked. It brought you back.
Well, yeah. I mean, we did some things and got within a score with the ball at midfield. And then, you know, we turned it over. And so, you know, we had opportunities to take control of that game and didn't. And so, you know, you move on. I mean, you just got – all you can do is recognize what occurred, make sure you learn lessons that are there to be learned.
Sure.
And then, you know, go forward with a lot of resolve and energy, and that's where we are.
355-NFL-1, if you'd like to talk to Coach this evening, 355-6351. Many of you are still out getting your Christmas shopping done, and if you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price.
This break. Deliver?
yeah, you're going to have a hard time getting
it. Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Can you deliver Stein Mart? Call us. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. I thought that's why you had daughters. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1. Or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, if you're headed to the game on Sunday, go to Teal Town. 3 hours before every Jaguars home game, you can check out Teal Town. There's live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and $2 draft beers. Admission is free. No game tickets even required. But if you're coming down here, you might as well have one, folks. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. You're serious. These Redskins, 5-9, all the injuries, Albert Hainsworth, they benched Donovan McNabb. That is no indication that this football team is tanking it at all, putting it away for next year.
No. In fact, they are on high alert. I think you have to recognize something. That's a fact. Okay, Mike Shanahan is the head coach. Everybody knows he's in charge, and he just benched a quarterback. You don't think? I mean, a proven quantity. You don't think every member of that organization isn't on point right now?
Yeah, no, everyone is. Yeah. That's really the most dangerous part of that team coming in here is not that they have nothing to play for and play loose. It's that they have everything to play for because Mike Shanahan is going into year two and he's going to want a clean house.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as professionals, we get a great opportunity to play 16 weeks promised on the schedule, you know, Lord willing, that you have to take advantage of. The guys work so hard getting up for these opportunities. So aside from playoff aspirations, which, yes, they still remain.
Right.
Okay, all that. But just as professionals, just recognizing we get an opportunity to compete, our last promised home game, this game, and coming off, just want to get the bad taste out of our mouth and get back on a good
You played good so well at home here.
We have played well at home and had some exciting games. So we're just kind of fired up to get back to work.
All right. You know, going into this game, there's one mismatch or at least one matchup that doesn't look like it's going to be real easy for you. That's Santana Moss. He had three touchdowns, including the game winner when you saw him in 06.
Yeah,
he's gotten a couple years older, but he's kind of a DeSean Jackson type, isn't he? I mean, he can kind of start, kind of glide, and then all of a sudden be gone.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's really a good player. And they do a great job of moving him around and getting the ball in his hands. The bubble screens, they'll put him in the backfield and run routes out of the backfield. They'll take deep shots with him. He runs little read concepts where he'll sit down in zones. And he's good. He's a good football player, has been for a long, long time in this league.
9 years.
Yeah, and they're looking to utilize him. I mean, they're getting him heavily involved right away.
Now, we say that's a tough matchup, but you have two corners that played well last week. It may be the first time all year that they have played consistently well from start to finish at the same time.
It was a good game by our corners. It really was. Yeah, Rasheen and Derek both played well. I thought Derek, you know, we left Derek over there on Reggie Wayne. Now, we rolled some to him, had some help, but he was over there alone some as well, and they played well in the game. So that was good for us to see. The two guys on their offense that you don't hear a lot about, well, some people do. I mean, Cooley,
the tight end,
he's a really good player. And I think the most underrated, one of the guys I really appreciate in their offense is Mike Sellers.
Fullback.
Yeah.
He's 270 pounds. He's
a big
more
guy.
Guard,
yeah. He runs down on kickoffs. He blocks on kick return. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He's a good blocker. I think he's a good football player. So,
from that football factory, Walla Walla Junior College.
How about that?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You find football players where you find
So I've got to tell you, you know, I come into the tonight full of energy, and I'll tell you what lifted my spirits today.
Okay.
I went over to Winn-Dixie, who the Jack Del Rio Foundation, my wife and I, had a little event, had the PAL kids. A few kids from the PAL, from the PAL came over. And gave them lunch over there at Winn-Dixie, some little shopping certificates and things like that, and then took them over to Academy Sports for a little shopping spree.
I told you that's a cool place. Did you like it?
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It's a great place.
And just seeing those kids and seeing their faces light up, that really brightened my day. I mean, you go over there, you're trying to give to them, and they gave to me, and I appreciate that very much.
4 days from Christmas.
Yeah, just to see their smiles and... You know, there's so much more to life going on, and, you know, sometimes, you know, we get in our little world here, and it's all about this, and which, believe me, is very, very important.
Sure.
But that just, that lifted me. So
good.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad to see you like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Energy, folks, bring it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's start with Stephen in Mandarin, up next on the Jack Del Rio Show. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Sexton?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Coach Del Rio.
Thank you, Stephen. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate it. I just wanted to start off by saying good job last week. I know we took the loss, but we got a lot of stuff. We have a lot of things to be, you know, to look forward to, and I think we should stay positive. Special teams look great with the punt return for the touchdown. Osgood's been balling out. Hill, he's been catching. Everything's been going well with Hill. The receiver, I think we need to design some plays to get him the ball. Sims Walker's a boss, always. Mercedes Lewis with the one-handed catch, but this is the best season in a long time. Our defense looked pretty good. Smith brought it. Smith was just bringing the heat. I think we got a lot of things. I mean, Peyton Manning's going to be good at home, so It was a tough one, and Cox did a good job on Reggie Wayne. So he, you know, besides the things that are uncoverable, like some comeback routes, we look well.
Well, I appreciate all
that.
I
covered it, yeah.
You've got some good positive thoughts out there, and you are absolutely correct. There are many things that you can look to and feel good about, and we do. And I think it's easy to kind of ignore all of the positives and just focus on the negatives. And believe me, when you lose, there's some negatives. There's some things you have to be able to face up to and look to rectify and be better with your next opportunity.
You
but,
know,
you made some great points.
And the one that he could have wrapped it all up with is when you look at this roster in the direction that it's headed in.
Yeah.
We're focused on 2010, but when you look forward, you see a team with a lot of young players that are starting to mature and making progress on the field. I mean, there's still games to be played here, but you got to like what you see.
Well,
the way this is starting to grow.
Yeah, but I hesitate to even go there. I agree with you. There is a lot that we're excited about as we're building this thing the right way.
Right.
I mean, I think we've taken some significant steps over the last 2 years. And we have been very competitive in each of the last 2 years. And we're not done yet.
Right.
I mean, we're not done yet. We've got work to do. We've got a couple weeks that we get to compete. We get an opportunity to compete. We need to finish these weeks strong and then see if there's anything left after that for us. And hopefully there is. But regardless, we've got work to do. We've got a job to finish. And we signed on for this thing and not only when it was going to be comfortable and only when things were going to be going well. We signed on for the whole thing, and we're going to give it all. We're going to get everything we have every day, and we're going to finish this thing strong.
I guess the better way to say it is, as we come to crunch time in the season, you have a team on the rise. That's a really good feeling in football terms.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at that, it hurts to lose, but you look with two more games, you still have a team on the rise. When we talk about Derek Cox playing Reggie Wayne to 5 catches in less than 40 yards, yeah, you got to like where you see some of that growth.
Well, that was definitely one of the positives.
Yeah, it sure enough was. And Daryl Smith, I know he's not a young guy by that stretch.
No, he's not a young guy.
Wow, was he terrific on Sunday.
I told him immediately after the game, I didn't even have to watch the film. I said, Daryl, I said, this is probably the biggest game of my 8 years here. And I said, I just want you to know how much I respect and appreciate who you were on the field today. You were an absolute man out there. I mean, you were, you know, whipping blocks, showing up, making plays, being tough and rugged. And I just wanted him to know. And I said it in front of a bunch of guys. I said, that was a tremendous performance today. And I know you're upset because we all are, but I couldn't walk out and not tell you that. And you know, I'm sure he appreciated that, but what a game he played.
The plays, I mean, everyone saw him make tackles, and the sack was big. But it was the play on the screens, you know, the play he made on Jacob Tammy.
Right.
And then they came back with a little fake, and Tammy went inside, and they thought they were going to be able to fool him and get Reggie Wayne. And, boy, he read that thing and went and got Wayne.
Yeah, played smart, played tough, very productive. It was his best game as a Jaguar.
355-NFL-1, and that's saying something that he's in his seventh year. 355-6351. Let's grab another caller, and then we'll come back. Let's grab Clay, who joins us from Riverside. Clay, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, guys. And certainly a tough loss last weekend, Coach, but all we can do is look ahead, like you said.
Absolutely. How you doing, Clay? What's on your mind?
I had a question about Zach Miller. He seems to be one of these great young weapons we have, and it's one of those where he makes a big appearance in a couple games and then no appearance in others, and it's very sort of hot and cold. So I was curious how a guy like that gets incorporated in the game plan and the reasons for the variation from game to game.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of hitting on some things. I think you're right in terms of the end result stat line, and he has not become a guy that shows up consistently in our stat line yet, but he is consistently in our plans. He's a guy that we do feel is a weapon, a little bit like a Rashad Jennings. You know, we feel like he's a guy that, you know, is poised and ready to have an even bigger role. I think part of it is Mercedes has been so good this year.
Very.
And a lot of the plays that have been designed for tight ends have gone to Mercedes. I think that's part of it. And then, you know, we've just missed him on a few things. And we, you know, flat out have missed him on a couple things. We had him for a couple big plays in the last couple ball games and missed him. And so, you know, those we do have an eye open for him. We do think he's got an ability to really help us be explosive at that position, and we'll continue to look for ways to get him involved.
Appreciate the phone call. We are due for a break. Let's take it now. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Don't forget, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. You could see right there how you can win Jaguars tickets and great prizes. Look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House is an official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate, and probably a Christmas party as well. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Tanya's on the north side with a thought or two on the Washington Redskins, this Sunday's opponent. Hello, Tanya.
Merry Christmas to everyone. Coach, I grew up watching you back home in Dallas.
Did you? Tell
yes, sir, I sure did.
All right.
You can hear the Texas right there.
Well, here's my thing. You know when the Cowboys play the Redskins, there's all kinds of ways to get your team pumped up.
Mm-hmm.
That rivalry's not here. The last couple of games, one game we had our offense clicking. The next weekend, defense clicked. Now, how do you get the two together? What do you do to motivate the team this week? Other than the fact, of course, we have to win to keep going on and to keep moving forward. But there needs to be something special like we used to have back home when we play the Washington Redskins, when you would play a team of that caliber. Because you know what I know, they can do it.
Right, right. Are you giving me a suggestion, or are you just saying, what is it, and you want to know the answer?
You remember that feeling when you used to play the Washington back home from Dallas? You remember that. You remember it was just that thing. You can't explain what it is. It was just that thing. The fans had it. The players had it. The coaches had it.
I thought what I felt was hatred.
People in Washington or Texas don't like Washington.
You're right about that. And it's still strong.
It's getting stronger.
That's a true statement of fact, because this year they're not doing too good. But how do you get that? How do you get that for this game? Because I think that that's really needed. Because our defense, you're right, our secondary finally looked great this week. They made some awesome plays. Now, granted, our offense wasn't clicking like it normally does.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Yep.
But we need to click it together. So how do you get that little oomph?
That oomph is what we're looking for. That having it come together in all three phases, playing complementary football where we're all clicking at the same time, that's what we're looking for, a complete effort from all three phases in a complete game. And that's what you're hitting on. But you don't always get it, even in those Cowboy-Redskin games, even in the Chiefs-Raider games, even in the rivalries on and on throughout the league.
Vikings-Packers.
You just don't always get it. You feel the emotion of it because – you know, there's a long-standing tradition there. I think when you're talking about Dallas and Washington, they've had many, many games. And I remember when I was there in 89 and we only won one game. That one game was against the Redskins.
Right. You could play the Seattle Seahawks this week, and I think that you would have a team that would feel something because of what you're playing for. I mean, the circumstances that are out there.
See, I think that's a misnomer. I don't think just because you're playing for something you feel about football. I think as a football team, if you really enjoy the battle and you really enjoy the competition and you really enjoy each other and every opportunity you get, I think there's something to that. And I think there's more consistency in that. I think you get up for certain games, certain opponents, certain times a year. But I think as a team, to really have consistency, I think you've got to have a team that just enjoys the challenge of getting up week to week.
So a game with playoff implications like this one doesn't take on a rivalry game kind of feel, no matter who it is?
I think to me, it's a little – that's what I'm saying. I think it's just because a team doesn't have that.
Right.
I think you're underestimating them if you don't think they're going to come in with the same kind of fire. I think there's an opportunity and you get an opportunity to compete.
Right.
And these are the world's best athletes. And, look, we all like winning. Winning is great.
Yeah.
And the alternative is not.
Well, when you look at a couple of guys, how about their corners, right? Carlos Rogers was a first-round pick. D'Angelo Hall was a first-round pick of the Falcons a couple of years ago. I mean, these are two extremely talented guys.
And gamblers.
They take their chances and they go.
Yes.
So when you look at, I mean, that's just two guys. I mean, how about Maki Kimoyatu on the nose? I mean, you're talking about a 6'5", 365-pound guy. That's what they list him at.
Right.
For God's sakes.
You know, they're always off a little.
Yeah, he's probably 380. I mean, but he's huge. And moving him with a linebacker like London Fletcher inside, I mean, these guys aren't just turning the switch off and saying, ah, we're going to tank it. We'll quit.
No, you're not going to find any of that. You're going to find a proud team, a lot of veterans. No, you hit on a couple of them there. I think Fletcher, you know, he has been unbelievable the way he's been able to maintain and sustain such a high level of play for such a long time.
And he's 5'10".
I mean, how many years is it now? What's it say?
12 years.
I would have thought it even been
12 years at 5'10". 5'10".
Right, right.
And 245 pounds.
A lot of passion. He's the quarterback of their defense, does a nice job for them. Arakpo, you know, he was a little bit banged up in the last game. We'll have to see what his status is.
Groin is his issue.
Then he'll probably make it. So, but he's a gifted guy at the University of Texas as well. Pass rush guy, but I think he's got 9.5 sacks on the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a monster for him so far. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We've got lots more callers in the line, but we need to take a break here as we reach the bottom of the hour across many of these fine stations. The Jack Del Rio Show continues this Christmas week after this quick timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I think it's about time we pull out the Christmas music on this show.
There you go, Joe. I know
Joe
you
Fortunato
can do it.
Coming through in the clutch. Nice to see you, Joe. Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Day after Christmas, Jaguars host the Washington Redskins. Home finale, folks, you want to be there. The last couple games at home have been tremendous. Houston, Cleveland, Oakland. Do not miss this one. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 10 a.m. for those of you in Jacksonville. Jaguars pregame show begins at noon for those of you on the network. Kickoff at 1, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and, of course, the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. So what about Rex Grossman now? He's the starting quarterback.
Yes.
Four touchdown passes last week, two interceptions in Dallas, rallied them from a big deficit. Obviously, he's a guy that the folks down in Gainesville know something about, having played down there, was a quarterback for the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl a few years ago. What do you see when you watch him on tape?
Very capable. The offense didn't change a lot. You know, I think, you know, they've been building their offense all year, so, and he's been there. So, you know, they do a few things with him, a little bit different, but for the most part, the offense was the same. And he did a nice job. He did a nice, really nice job in the second half in terms of, you know, they were behind and they let him throw it quite a bit, and he made some plays and let him down the field and made some, you know, big plays for scores. And
what did he throw, like 43, 44 times?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least.
So maybe 50.
Well, he's got 50 on the year,
okay.
52, I think, on the year, but anyway, so he did a nice job.
Big, nice strong, job. Physical guy, right? I mean, stands in the pocket.
He's
huge.
Not,
he's not.
Not like Roethlisberger or Flacco big, but he's a good-sized kid, yeah.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab, who's next? Let's grab Lee, who joins us from the west side of town. Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Lee. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. It's a real honor to be able to talk to you. I'm real thrilled that you're our coach here in Jacksonville. I'm real thrilled the direction the organization's going, especially, you know, from last year and the beginning of this year, all the naysayers in the media and some of the fan base, you know, were really not too sure what was going to happen. But I was always one pumping up, you know, people around me telling me, you know, look who Gene Smith and the team is drafting and bringing in quality people. And it's really starting to show here at the end of the season. What I wanted to ask about was more of the safety issues. Me and my brother sit there and we watch the games, and it seems like a lot of the of course, this is me, someone sitting at home watching it or sitting in the stands watching it. It's different than playing the game. But it seems like a lot of the issues come from safety deficiencies, almost like a defensive awareness type, if you want to, where the safeties are like, for instance, I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular, but we'll say Considine, where if you watch the plays and the tapes, that it seems like there's a lot of times where he's a step or two out of position, which really ends up hurting us in the long run. And and I'm sure y'all probably see that too, and it may go into with some of the injuries that, of course, we keep suffering on the safety front. And I guess my question would be, is that a position y'all are going to really probably look forward to try to draft if there's someone in key? I know it's kind of way ahead of advance of asking about who possibly could be wanting to draft for next year, but possibly maybe if, you know, someone big, like if a big safety person at that spot, wherever it would be at, we were drafting at in the first round, if that's something the team would look at. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay. Let me just say I really appreciate your call, Lee, and obviously you're somebody that's very tuned in to what's going on, and I think you're aware of one thing, and that is we started a major undertaking last offseason with what we did with this roster.
Right. I'm not sure everyone expected it to be as big as it was.
Right. You know, but when you turn it over and you have over 30 players new on a 53-man roster, you're going to go out and fight because you're never going to concede anything. But, you know, generally speaking, you're going to have a very difficult time putting all that together in a short time and being really, really good.
Right.
And so we're in year two, and we want to finish this year strong and win our division, okay? We do have some areas that we'd like to strengthen, but it's not really the time to start talking about those. I think, you know, certainly that's an area that's been talked about all year. So, I mean, it's not a secret that we're going to need some help in that area.
Right.
But, you know, right now what we've got to do is rally those guys that we have and teach and coach and do the best we can to put them in position to make the plays that we think they're capable of making. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to rally around our guys. They're our guys. I mean, this is who we have. This is who we are right now. So it's too early to start putting the wish list together. I hear what you're saying, Lee, and I can't really, without getting into too much coach speak, talk
so
about
much
it.
It's just changed, too.
Well, but they're my guys. Yeah. And I'm their guy. And, you know, we've got to work together right now. We can worry about addressing how we're going to upgrade certain areas when the season's over. But right now, you know, it's just impossible to do anything more than teach, give guys opportunities. If you feel that you have to move on, move on. And we did that earlier in the year. You know, we went young, and Courtney Green was playing well, and he gets a little banged up, and, you know, he's going to return to practice. He did a little bit last week. He'll be back again this week, and hopefully we'll get him back on the field. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, thanks for the call, Lee. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Lee. Let's move along. Josh is on the south side of town. Josh, you're up next with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you. I have to listen to you every Sunday because I'm usually always working. Next week, me and my wife are going to get to see the Jaguars in action. And Coach Del Rio, you know, she's a Redskins fan, but I'm a diehard Jaguars fan. I just got to know what you're going to do to contain Santana Moss and that Redskins passing offense.
Well, that's going to be one of the keys for us, Josh. And we hope that we're able to do it well enough for you to enjoy the upper hand in the household.
You could get him in some trouble now. Yeah, when you win. Don't gloat too much, Josh. That's the key to a long, happy, successful marriage. Just smile, acknowledge it, and move on.
Coach, we're both from Hawaii too, so she's kind of rooting for Alu-Alu. So you know, if you wouldn't mind, ask him to, you know, plant Rex Grossman on his back a couple times. You know, we'll be happy with that. I'm sure she'll be okay with it too.
That might be the way to bridge this thing here and have a win-win for both sides. Let's get Alu-Alu going, our guy from Hawaii. Let's get him going. Let him make some plays and help us get the victory that we need so desperately.
Appreciate the phone call, Josh. We're due for a break. We take it now, and we return after this. First, though, when the Jaguars win, you all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win at Everbank Field. That's at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants in North Florida. This break. After this, we return with the head coach on Jaguars Radio.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Oh,
we're singing in the break.
I don't know this part.
You don't want to compete with Frank, huh?
I don't.
Sounds of the season, ladies and gentlemen. Getting you ready for Christmas this week. And you know what? Did you hear, by the way, I don't know whether you saw it, you should be too busy, but the Fox Network is now going to start experimenting with using dramatic music during NFL broadcasts. You know how you watch a movie and you don't even really realize it, but the music kind of sets the tempo?
Yeah.
Fox, the David Hill folks, you know, the guys that put the chip in the puck that made it light up on TV and all the different cams, and they're going to try and use music during an NFL broadcast. Not this week, but next year. I just thought while we had it going, I'd throw that tidbit in there.
Yeah. While we have our music going.
Yeah, exactly. Just let it go for a minute. Set the mood.
Setting the mood, yeah.
If there's any nasty callers out there, you know, I mean, they'll get on, they'll hear this, and they'll think, well, it was just one loss. The Redskins are coming to town. Merry Christmas.
Merry little Christmas now.
Let's grab James in Mayport. Up next on the Jack Del Rio Show. Hello, James.
Good evening.
Hey, James.
Hey, Coach, Brian. My 14-year-old son had a question for you. He took off on his skateboard. That is about these referees when it's a blatant at all. And they overturn it, you know, and it's like the call against Oakland when they dropped the ball. We picked up ran for a touchdown. We saw your face on the side of the line, Coach. You're like, ah. Now, when they make such bad calls and people from up top don't overview these calls and look at them, do the referees get fined? Because if the players make bad calls and this and that and helmet to helmet, they get fined.
Boy, that's a...
Well, now you've opened a can of worms, James.
Yeah, that's a good one, James. You're hitting right on.
That's a Wednesday night question, though, don't you think?
Well, you guys will be able to openly discuss it how you feel without any, you know, retribution.
Right.
Let me just say this, James. I think for the most part, the guys that work our games do a pretty good job. And there are times when things, you know, come up that, you know, get missed. And they are evaluated and they are graded. And typically what happens is the guys that work the playoff games and then work ultimately the Super Bowl, those guys are the better referees, the better crews that have been on top of their game, so to speak, throughout the course of the regular season. So there is an evaluation process, and there are times when guys are replaced, although it's rare. But there are times when that happens as well. So, yeah, there is. I mean, you know, and there has always been discussion about should they be full-time and should they have other jobs and all those other things. And, you know, it is what it is right now, and we deal with the system we have. I do think that, by and large, the guys that call our games are pretty good.
Right.
I think I think there's always going to be human error involved in officiating.
Hey, we've got to get a break. Before we do, real quick, you played in Minnesota. What was it like last night for you to watch an outdoor game in Minnesota? I mean, did you see the beginning of it when the snow's coming down and they showed the montage of all the great Vikings? I mean, did that strike you anywhere?
Listen, I saw one thing
okay.
that I loved more than any other thing.
Right.
I saw their former head coach walk out on the field in short sleeves.
Is that Bud Grant?
Yes, it was. Bud Grant manned up and walked out in short sleeves.
Yeah.
Now that, I mean, you know, he never allowed gloves on the sideline.
Right.
He never allowed warming benches on the sideline. None of that. And they had a distinct advantage outdoors when he was the coach.
Well, and there is talk today in Minnesota. It's the rage, whether it was Sid. I know you know Sid Hartman, who writes for the Star Tribune, has done it for years. All the way through the sports talk guys, they're saying it should be an outdoor stadium. They should re-embrace their roots and go play outdoors, because that's a hardy people up there. They like to ice fish. They have a winter carnival and snowmobile. They don't go inside when it snows.
No.
They go outside.
They actually, if it's not cold enough up there,
the
people get upset
because
it means all the winter sports have to be on hold. All the ice fishing and snowmobiling and all those things are put on hold if they don't get enough snow and get enough cold weather. So they look forward to it.
Yeah. So you're a fan of outdoor football in Minnesota then? Check you off.
No, I'm not. I love seeing it played out there. I think it's good theater, but you know, hey, whatever they want, that's their team. I'm with the Jaguars right now.
We'll take a quick break. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow.
It's kind of hard to do football with this. It just makes you want to start a fire and get your feet up. And now most people down here don't want snow. I never do get that out of my blood. I'm from a snowy part of the world. I want snow Christmas.
Yeah.
Not getting any of that. Yeah, yeah, I guess we got some in it.
You know what people down here tell you?
Go back.
Take a picture.
Yeah, I got one of those on my computer right now. 355-NFL-1. Now, we're way behind, but let's grab John over in Keystone Heights. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, guys. You, Joe, and Coach, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas because it's the last time I'll get to talk to you before then. And I've got a question about Osgood. The way he plays on special team and closes in, and, I mean, I've even seen where, you know, a guy darts off, he can close in and get a guy and stuff. And as far as a receiver, he's not really up there. Could there be a future him playing back in the backfield on defense?
Well, John, you know, no, not a future in terms of every down playing back there. But we actually do have, if we ever see us defend end of the game ball into the end zone, you're going to see Kasim Osgood standing back there, and he's going to be our guy that's back there to knock it down or catch it or whatever the case may be. So we do have him involved defensively, but just on a few couple select things where it'd be end-of-the-game type situations. But you bring up a good point in terms of what he does on special teams, because you would think, on that, yeah, he is a tremendous player. He closes on guys. He tackles well. He does the things that you'd like your secondary to do. So I understand that. But in terms of movement skills, he's not really – going to be capable of doing what we need back there.
John, thanks for the call. We got to get this last break in, folks, and we'll return to wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up.
Love Christmas week.
That's really a good one there.
And with a chance to stay right in touch with the division and the title there, it takes any sting out of last week and gets set for next.
Well, I don't know if any sting's been taken
out. Oh, come on. The 24-hour rule
is here. No, it's definitely time to just deal with that pain you're feeling.
Yeah.
And move forward.
You know, there were a lot of Jaguars fans that called shows last week, and they kept saying, I'm nervous. You know what my advice was? Man, wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah.
Let it out there. Because these...
Our fans were awesome. Believe me, for us, because we wanted.
Yeah.
But for our fans, they were fired up. 2,500 people sending us off. Our guys were jacked up. That was awesome.
Thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas, Coach.
Merry Christmas.
And to all of you. And you too, Joe. Good night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.